Attention bourbon lovers, are you ready for a taste sensation like no other? Old Raleigh Distillery, recently awarded Best Micro Distillery in the U.S., invites you to experience the art of whiskey blending firsthand. Located just east of Raleigh in downtown Zebulon, the distillery specializes in premium, micro-batch bourbon and limited-release whiskeys. Visit the tasting room Tuesday through Sunday to savor a wide variety of whiskeys, specialty cocktails, wine, and beer. And don't miss a chance to peek behind the curtain with a tour of the blending operation every Saturday and Sunday at 1 and 2 p.m. For more information and to plan your visit, visit oldraleighdistillery.com. Follow on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Old Raleigh Distillery for exclusive updates and behind-the-scenes content. Old Raleigh Distillery, where every sip tells a story. You're talking about somebody who's spent the better part of his career planning spaces, creating spaces, and helping cities do exactly what we're trying to figure out right now.
What Cary and Durham are doing is really innovative. Mm-hmm. And Raleigh has to keep up, not just with our sister cities down the road, but like,
right.
You don't think that, you know, if Austin's working this hard right now, you don't think they're going to shoot back up from 40, you know? And so you really have to keep going.
You're listening to Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine. I'm your host, Gina Stevens. You may know Raleigh Magazine, but what you may not know is how we get our stories. It's all inside baseball. You'd be surprised what people will tell us. Our MO is telling stories no one else is telling. So this podcast is where you get the inside access to stories you won't read anywhere else. So let's dive into some of Raleigh Magazine's biggest stories. Today, we're talking about Raleigh and how to propel her into the next era. It's one thing to be the best. It's another thing to stay the best. Capital cities like Austin have toppled from number one best place to live in 2017 to 2019 to 40th on the list this year. There are lots of factors, of course, in those rankings. But today, we're talking about that one, okay, maybe two or three things that Raleigh needs to add to keep us at the top of the list. With me today to talk about what our city's big thinkers and Raleighites told us they think should be in Raleigh's next big thing is Editor-in-Chief Melissa Housem. Melissa, you've been working on this story for several months. I think it's going to prompt some conversation.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. I mean, we've even talked about this on here before, always kind of just floating ideas of what is it that Raleigh needs? Like, what's the thing she's missing? What's the lure? What would make people want to come visit? And so we finally turned it into a big feature.
Yeah, we talked to, 12 to 15 leaders or big thinkers, meaning people who work in planning and designing and have done it in other cities and here. And most suggested some variation on four big ideas.
Yeah, so no matter what they answered, there was some combination or allusion to at least one, if not all four of these, that we ended up calling the four big ideas. And one was connector.
Mm-hmm.
One was water, you know, water, water, water. One was sports, pro sports. And the other was arts.
Yeah, I mean, and when we say connector, it's not connectors all over the city. This is a connector from downtown to Dix Park.
Mm-hmm.
Because our Dix Park is not like Central Park where it's right in the middle of the city. It's a little ways out. And so making it connected and creating a walk or a connector that gets you there that doesn't feel like it's a mile because there's so many neat things built in around it.
Yeah, this was absolutely the one that probably, other than water, stood out the most, the connectivity aspect, because it is just undeniable that there is no good way from downtown to Dix. I think one of my favorite ways that somebody framed it was it's just an uncomfortable, you know, walk if not impossible. So everybody had different ideas of how you might create that connectivity. McAdams actually rendered for us one idea, which is to take... So that intersection that's really complex is really an interchange, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's
at Martin Luther King and Dawson and McDowell. So it's sort of as you're heading south out of downtown, that big intersection there, interchange, because they had to, when it was originally created, they dug it out and put one road over the other. And this plan and suggestion would be to
put the dirt back in, flatten it out, and make it a large T intersection.
At grade. Yeah, one of the things that we learned doing this, Gina and I had coffee with Mitch Silver from McAdams. I thought this was fascinating. He said that that interchange was originally designed in the 70s as part of the urban renewal era that was intended to get people out of downtown as quickly as possible.
Right.
That's what they wanted at the time. So how the times have changed, right? We don't want people to get out of downtown as soon as possible. We want them to stay and play and be able to move around. Then this would become a more pedestrian-friendly, not just even pedestrian-friendly. It would be at grade, meaning street level, right? And then it also would be built with pedestrians in mind. And so there would be, you know, buildings perhaps on each corner. And I think the other large point that they made that's very important is it's not just then a footpath. Well, first of all, they have paths going from there in all directions. But for our purposes, focus on the footpath from what would now be an intersection to Dix Park. It becomes a 10-minute walk. It picks up on a street that already exists that automatically takes you over the railroad, which is another barrier. And most importantly, it would want and need eventually to be designed in a way that is a walk that you want to walk so you don't know you're walking.
Well, and I just did the High Line in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. And it's very different from the Beltline in Atlanta.
Right.
Very, very different because the Beltline is, you know, you're backed up to neighborhoods. It's not designed around it. What the High Line is more designed that as you're walking through, there's so much interest, so many interesting buildings, there's art, there's all kinds of things to look at. So you don't pick up on the fact that you've just walked 10 blocks or you've walked, a half a mile or a mile. You don't pay attention because you're so enamored and you might be taking photos or... And you can also see ahead to know that there's something more interesting in front of you.
Yeah. And so that's actually a great segue. So, you know, other people suggested a High Line as opposed to what McAdams drew, which is at grade. The High Line that, like you just described, is in Manhattan. Not everybody's heard of it. I'm surprised of how many people haven't. It's about two stories above the ground and just kind of follows along the streets below, but it's a pedestrian a pedestrian park. It's very lush. It's beautiful.
It is. But I think you could, what I liked about it versus the Beltline felt more, the Beltline feels more like a greenway.
Right.
And a lowered High Line is probably what I'm thinking is it's not high, but it's ground level, but you're still walking between buildings and you feel like you're getting a very different view, which is what I think this plan kind of depicts.
Oh, for sure.
And keep in mind, Mitch Silver is a former planner here with the city of Raleigh. And many people were devastated when he left and went to New York as a planner there, parks planner. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about somebody who's spent the better part of his career planning spaces, creating spaces, and helping cities do exactly what we're trying to figure out right now. I mean, he was the idea man.
The impetus, right?
Impetus in talking to Kane about what they could do at North Hills or the Warehouse District.
In downtown South, you know, starting all those conversations. And he did say to us, I loved that, like, big ideas are just big ideas. And while he did get into some specifics on this one, he was very adamant that they're conversation starters. They're not about the specifics.
Yeah, these are big ideas. These are conversation pieces that, you know, it just like downtown South, it was not really, it didn't come to fruition in the way he had kind of thought it would, but it's coming to fruition in a different form, but at least it's happening.
And it is interesting because, you know, we talked to some other people, Highwood, Skip Hill actually was, he was sort of like, hey, I want a connector. You know, I think that's a great big idea, whether it's elevated or not. And then other people thought something elevated, economic development director Kyle Touchstone did kind of say something like the High Line in New York. So that could be elevated. Kane's Mike Smith actually said something similar as the crow flies, he said, a High Line. And then you had others like David Meeker that actually referenced something more like the Atlanta Beltline, which I think the real difference there is like people debating the elevated versus the ground level. The thing that they all have in common is that we need a connector,
right?
Period.
Well, and that, you know, we're not going to tell you everything because you really need to read it. And you also really want to see the rendering. It gives you an exact idea of what we're talking about and what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And these are not, keep in mind, nobody panic. This isn't some plan that's already in motion. These are big right. ideas that will prompt conversation, and especially in election year, as you know, we're starting to look at city council and who's going to lead our city, those kinds of things.
That's actually a good point, because you said at the top, Austin was number one. Now they're 40th. They were just here. You actually mm-hmm. led a panel with their chamber. They were just here looking to Raleigh for, like, how can we be like Raleigh, when 5 years ago we were looking, how can we be like Austin? And I think one of the most important things that's been said a lot throughout the planning for this feature for, like you said, months, if not years, is we can't just rest on our laurels at this point. We can't just be like, hey, we're number one. Great.
Right.
Other cities are primed to pass us by if we don't keep moving forward with some of these big ideas.
And we know, I mean, trust us, you look at our social media, we know every time we announce, you know, a new building coming or a new project, you know, half the city's thrilled and the other half isn't. And there's a large contingency of people who don't want to see us lose our identity. The two of us don't want to see that happen. But the reality is you can't stay in place. You've got to keep thinking creatively. And I think all of these ideas are great. I think, to me, this one seems to make the most sense. The city spent the money on Dix Park to have the land to invest in it, what we're investing. It can't be an island. Your story alone of getting back from Dreamville a couple of years ago and the walk that's involved, it's a great event, but we just need to make that park more accessible so we can use it on a daily basis.
And Lauren went this year. I actually did not go this year because NC State was in the Final Four. But Lauren went this year, and she went both days. And the first day they walked, and it was the same thing. She didn't get home till almost 2 in the morning. It cost an obnoxious amount for the Uber that they ended up getting out of, like, Glenwood South after they footed there. And the next day they ended up getting a DD to drive them. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but we don't want to be a city, I think most people would agree, that the best way to get to Dix is to drive.
No, you know, that's defeats the whole purpose.
Exactly. So I do think that this is probably the most imminent, like something that's really, really needed as opposed to just attractive.
Well, and it's also, it ties to the next big idea, which was pro sports and a downtown stadium or arena. And obviously, the hope would be this connector would be in the pathway, that the, you know, stadium would be in the pathway to Dix.
Yeah. You guys know now our issue's out that DJ Burns is on the cover, and there's been a lot made about what a big deal that was for Raleigh. And so I don't think that there's any denying, and Marianne said, even when she announced she wasn't running again for mayor, that sports would be the next big thing to really, like, electrify the community. She wasn't one of the people that we talked to for this feature, but it was interesting that she ended up saying that, you know, as this feature was going to the printer. I think a lot of people agree. What we're really talking about here is, like, economic development. At the end of the day, that's what it is.
Absolutely. And you think about it. She quoted $600 million is what's poured into the economy here because of the Canes being here. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. Like, I don't remember now. I mean, I'm sure if I spent some time, I could. I don't remember a whole lot what the backlash, if there was any, was. Like, I remember the Ice Caps were here, and then the Canes came here. I just remember excitement. I don't remember a lot of pushback. But I also think that that is the way that culture shifted with social media, is that everybody can get behind a screen and have an opinion, you know?
Well, and I think, you know, Keckner and Alice talked about this. The phone changed it, and it doesn't feel in vogue to be supportive, right? It feels in vogue. Right. It feels like you're the cool kid if you're nixing every idea and you don't like, you know, anything.
Yeah. That's, you know, we're jumping around, but what's interesting about that is that when we asked people for this, we wanted to kind of hear from the community too, and we asked people what big thing they thought Raleigh was missing. It was an extremely positive reaction.
Oh, yeah.
It was hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah, of responses.
50 pages of responses, and they were all one or two negatives, but for the most part, we love Raleigh. We would love to see this.
Right.
And that's so interesting, because then when we announce some of these things, with the exception of food and beverage, everybody's out, not everybody, but a good half the people are like, no, keep Raleigh boring. This sucks. We don't want another shiny thing. And then ironically, with this, not only were people like, we want new big shiny things or whatever, but they also said what we don't want right now is more food and beverage? Like, if you're asking, if you're answering
to
this
do
question,
other than drink and eat.
So I'm like, this is so ironic. When we announce a new restaurant, you guys are all excited. When we announce anything else, you're pissed off. Then when we ask you what you want the other thing.
Right.
It's so funny.
I mean, obviously, it's clear that I think if we were to get a soccer, pro soccer team, some people would support it. But there is a movement. MLB is everyone's talking about wanting baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there was some way that we could drive that bus, but it is really one of the big ideas. You've lived in Chicago. I've lived in Phoenix and Cincinnati and places that have in
Atlanta
that have
yeah.
a ton of pro sports. And I mean, I found myself as when I lived in Phoenix, I've never been an NBA fan. I'm not an NBA fan today. But you get there, you're in the playoffs. I went to NBA games. It's part of the culture of the city. It's part of supporting your teams. A local icon since 1949 and where Raleigh comes to celebrate, savor, and enjoy. Village District is celebrating 75 years of tradition and taste. You can join the celebration for their 75th anniversary on Saturday, April 20th from 3 to 8 p.m. on Woodburn Road. Enjoy live music, pop-ups, a kid-friendly area, and the launch of their Village 75 beer, exclusively brewed by Standard Beer and Food. For more event details and other Village District happenings, you can follow Village District on Instagram at Shop Village District, visit their website at shopvillagedistrict.com, or sign up to receive texts by texting the word VILLAGE to 919-701-0202. Life doesn't wait, and neither should you. It's time you consider earning a life-changing degree at your pace, at a time and place convenient for you and your family. Campbell University Law School's Flex JD program allows entering law students to earn a Juris Doctor degree by taking fewer classes each semester. You take the same classes with other law students, but only half the hours of a full-time student, so you can continue working full-time or part-time while you earn your degree. Located in downtown Raleigh, you can walk or bike to a class or just a short commute from anywhere in the Triangle. Application deadline is July 15. Visit law.campbell.edu/apply today. So
yeah, that's true. I mean, that's kind of how that was our hook. It's like, what's Chicago without Wrigley Field? And I remember when I moved there too, like being growing up in the Southeast and being such a college sports fan. I'm not saying there aren't college sports fans in Chicago. There are, but that wasn't the focus. People are like, no. You want to watch what? You want to do what? And it was just, it was the Bears and the Blackhawks and the Cubs. And, and I lived in Wrigleyville too. So it was very much Cubs, but it was just such a different energy, And anyway, I think that's a big one.
Number, and these are not in order, but they're pretty equal. So number one was a connector. Number two is pro sports in a downtown stadium. Number three, water, water, water.
Love it. I mean, we've talked a lot about how much we wish there was just even a fountain or something downtown. But this alone, I think, is also worth grabbing the issue for because, first of all, this
you found a stat that I had never heard before.
Might blow your mind. Raleigh is one of only three state capitals not built on some kind of water.
That's going to be, I would bet you that's going to be on Jeopardy one day. That's a Jeopardy kind of question. Look at Cece's face, her mouth just dropped open. She's like, what?
Wait. I'm not going to tell you the other two. You can get the issue. Yeah. But it's like, also when you hear the other two, you're like, oh, Raleigh. So some of the other ones, like, okay, this is not like, oh, all other 47 capitals and every other city that's not even a capital that's built on or near water. They didn't just all magically have water. They actually, so a lot of them are engineered.
Engineered, because that's what I said to Mitch. I was like, so how are we going to do that? And he goes, anything can be engineered.
Yeah.
It's costly, but it can happen.
Yeah, and what's the return on your investment?
Right.
People hear money and they're like, oh, but can you imagine the money that would pour in?
Well, and the idea for where to put it.
Exactly. Are you going to say or you want me to say?
You say it.
Okay.
It's your story.
So y'all, picture Capitol Boulevard, Downtown Boulevard for the super locals coming into downtown on the stretch of Capitol that is just littered with car repair, maybe some storage. That could be a river walk.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? And so when he tells us this and we're having coffee, I mean, we just light up and we're like, I mean, first of all, that's a perfect corridor. But second of all, like, wait, we don't have a river.
Well, right. Well, I'm like, he goes, just forget the details right now. But he tells us and shows us Seoul, South Korea, which gives us a great example of how this could look.
Yeah. And we have that pictured in the magazine.
It is.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously, if you've been to Richmond, Chicago, even Greenville, South Carolina, yeah, did theirs entirely different.
And San Antonio was a big one because, and I went and researched that one, that is recycled water, like stormwater. And I'm going to use the word sewage. It's going to freak everybody out, but it's clean. It's not
clean,
like,
not smelly sewage.
So right. I'll just recycled water. But honestly, that just mostly pumped in. And that one is absolutely stunning. And it might surprise people too that, of course, different people rate these. But Wilmington, North Carolina, was in the top five on some of these lists.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think in Greenville, like we just had Lauren went there on a press trip for us, and she just came back like absolutely enamored with that city. And
theirs is so different because it's not like a walk. Like, I mean, it is a walk, but it's not like a straight walk where there's water, you know, running, but they've got all these falls and rocks, and it's just, it's really well done. It's sort of, you navigate, you can come into it from different places in the city.
Yeah. So just imagine like being on Downtown Boulevard and it being a river walk, and there just being, and I think the one that comes to mind that's the easiest that people might be familiar with is the Chicago River Walk.
Yes.
There's still these major roads and stuff, right?
Right.
Like, it's not like you're taking that away, but you can also just like, there's promenades and
think about all the restaurants and hotels that could line that.
And people are rollerblading and they're sitting there having, you know, there's buskers and there's, you know, people are running. I mean, it's literally like anything you want to be doing. It's just kind of a paradise.
It would be a destination. And it's, yes, there could be food and beverage around it, but it's something to do that's not just eating and drinking.
Yeah. And this is a side note, but one of the things that some of our big thinkers and then a lot of residents said was skyline views, and we have this beautiful tree canopy. So nobody at me about the trees. I'm just repeating what people want. You would have to raise that down a little bit to
raise
have
that down.
Well, like raise, R-A-Z-E. I don't know if people will say like R-A-I-S-E. Raise as in get
we'd
rid
to,
of.
We'd have to cut some trees.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to roll into Raleigh and see the skyline. We have, if you go up on any tall building and look out at Raleigh, we've been good about preserving trees. We've got a lot of trees.
It is the city of Oaks. But before people freak out, that's one of two gateways. And on the other side, that's the beautiful view of the skyline.
Right.
And there's still a billion trees. So we're not talking about getting rid of a lot of trees.
That's just one
like
idea.
How do you kind of trim some back so that you can see some skyline there? But
And number four, big idea, which we hear this a lot, is art.
Yes. And so I was like, how am I going to get into this? Because people who love art, love art. But maybe if you're not like a big, you know, culture vulture, then you'd be like, okay, art. So I was asked a question while I was writing this that I thought was such a great question. And then it really opened this topic up for me. And I mean, I do like art. One of my favorite places to go just hang out is in the Museum of Art Park. But I still wouldn't say that excited me as much as the Riverwalk, right?
Right.
So I was like, how am I gonna draw the same excitement? And so the question was, what do you think the most photographed place in Raleigh is? Do you know what it is?
I know from reading your story, but
it was the Museum of Art Park, and then the second and third, depending, were like the Love Rules neon sign at Union Station, or the All Are Welcome mural. And then any other number of murals. And so art really is a draw for people wanting to like go be at this place. And then you start thinking about the Bean in Chicago and all these other places. And the Bean had something like 20 million visitors annually that are drawn to Millennium Park just to go take a picture in front of the Bean.
The last time I went to Chicago, I mean, literally stayed in the Loop and I could look out and see the Bean. So, I mean, I loved it being close to it like that. That was why I chose the hotel where I did.
Yeah, and there's such iconic things. Like one of the people we talked to, she from the Gregg Museum, she mentioned like the St. Louis Arch. And I think that is really fascinating to how you define art. That is art. So is the water fountain in Chicago. That's actually like a huge sculpture, even though it has water. And so I think that people have to think outside of like just murals too.
Right. Right, exactly. It's not just that. But it was interesting. So we did say, we posted this on social media and asked, what would you like? What do you think Raleigh needs? What would be the next big thing? And when we say we got 50 pages of responses, it was pretty incredible.
Yeah, and there were some great ideas. I know we touched on it a minute ago, but I would say what stood out to me the most, first of all, I will say, a huge number hit the big four. Right. And that also leaned into us like leaning into that big four. Right. So, you know, connector, water, sports, and art. But beyond that, I think some of the ones that that stood out were green spaces. There's a lot of love for the downtown Cary Park.
Right.
People want something like that here. The skyline came up a lot. And people shockingly said, get rid of some of those beautiful trees so I can see a skyline. A light rail. Retail really, really blew my mind, the way people talked about that.
High-end shopping. Walkable. Sort of like that Ball Harbor experience that they brought in over the holidays at North Hills.
Yeah. They said vibrant shopping. I thought that was a great, like, two words that you know what they mean. More direct flights, hotels, like, but, like, hotel experiences, you know?
Yeah. And amusement then, park.
Yeah. That is where you start getting into, we want something to do other than eat and drink.
Right.
And it was skate park, amusement park, aquarium, roller skating, dance clubs, a lot of jazz. People were sad about Sea Grace. They want more jazz.
Place to fly drones.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I thought that's interesting.
Yeah. And you've talked on here a lot about loving to have this sort of area where you might be able to just kind of stroll along like in Nashville and listen to live music. There was a lot of outcry for live music, but people acknowledged how great, you know, Lincoln Theater and the Ritz and all these places are and Red Hat, but they were still wanting more just like smaller experiences.
Smaller, but it's also more daytime. Like you're not buying a ticket to go to a show at 8 o'clock. It's like on a Saturday and Sunday when you walk by Milk Bar or Clockwork and someone's just playing. If we had more places like that doing it.
Yeah. But yeah, hobby parks, I think, is a good way to put a lot of those. And people did also outcry not having a lot of late night food and beverage. So I think when they and this is just like we said before, this is just so funny because people are so excited about the food scene. But when it came to what Raleigh was missing, they don't feel like that's what Raleigh's missing.
I don't think it is either.
Yeah.
I think we have that. We're known for that. And that is one of the things when people come to town, we often say, what do you take your friends who've never been to Raleigh to do? Well, we take them to, you know, Paul's Diner. We take them to Molino.
Yeah.
Okay, beyond food and beverage, what do you do?
I do. I don't want to say I struggle with that, but it is interesting. Like, we get asked a lot, what should I do with these people when they come to town? And the first 12 things that come to mind are great restaurants or bars. And then I'm like, okay, wait.
Then our museums, but still.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. And I mean, I think that the other side of this is like seeing the excitement people had for Raleigh's growth, because it is inevitable. And we see the other side of that, people commenting on the growth in a negative way. I think that when we announced, obviously, the Holiday Inn Round Landmark building is being torn down soon and replaced. And I just want to touch on that for, like, maybe people to understand that from our understanding, it couldn't be preserved for structural reasons. And
so, I mean, we know from talking to Kempton that they looked at it from every angle. Their engineers, they were trying to save the integrity of that building, but still had to build, you know, they bought it for a lot of money. They have to make it functional so that it's equivalent to Kempton's other places, right? So it's there's not always this total disregard for our heritage and for who we are as a city and our identity. Some things just don't work.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. First of all, from what I understand, I checked this before we started today, Holiday Inn built a bunch of those around the country. And as far as anybody knows, this is the last one. Well, what does that tell you? You think every city just knocked them down for no reason?
No.
Like, I think they were a great idea. But the other thing is, I think it's completely unfair, and this is what you were just saying, to say that Raleigh doesn't lean into the history. Please go to the Warehouse District right now and look at the edifice of the building being held up by 2x4s as they build something behind it so that they can keep the original.
The Dillon.
Right.
That exact, they kept the edifice or that warehouse.
Right.
That manufacturing, I mean, Kane made it would have been a whole lot cheaper to tear that down and start with something new than to do what they did.
And the Creamery building on Glenwood, and we can keep going, the Rialto, you know, like there's a lot of people working very hard And if you have our April issue, if you don't, we'll send you one if you want one. Elm Partners, working hard behind the scenes.
Yep.
People don't realize, you know, there's such a draw to keep Raleigh's identity alive, like Elm Partners. So when Humble Pie closed, they worked really hard to make sure another local concept came in there.
Right. Exactly. Somebody who wasn't going to necessarily tear it down or, you know, mm-hmm. create something bright and shiny new or put a chain restaurant in there or anything like that. And I have to tie it back, and you're going to hear me say this a lot, so you might as well, hopefully you won't tune out. I mean, obviously, elections are super important, and voting for president and all of the national offices are important. But who really affects your life and how Raleigh functions is our mayor, city council, you know, county commissioners, school board, and we've got a big election coming up. The entire city council is up for re-election. Mary Ann Baldwin's announced she's not running. We've got, you know, so we're going to have a new mayor.
It's an open race.
It is. And I think it's important. You know, we got to number one because we had some big thinkers and people who were planning, and that didn't happen overnight. These ideas you talk about now in hopes that 10 years from now, they're coming out of the ground. It took 10 years to create the 8-acre Cary Park. 10 years from buying the land to opening the doors. So these things don't happen overnight, but the right people, the big thinkers, creative people, it doesn't mean that we're not worried about affordable housing. It doesn't mean we're not worried about crime. It doesn't mean any of that.
Right.
But if you're not doing both of these things simultaneously, thinking big and solving problems, then you end up being 40th on the list. And you might say, who cares? We all care. It's our home values. It's jobs. It's what keeps our economy thriving. So that's me on my soapbox. But I do think voting in the local elections, you know, it was 2 years ago, we had 23% of the voters in Raleigh, registered voters, turned out. That's dismal. That's heartbreaking to think that people don't care. Because we obviously do care.
We've been notoriously in deadlock for years. And I think the one heartbreaking thing for me personally about doing this feature is wondering how this next 10 years will go, because all these things that have made us number one now, as you just pointed out, were ideas that were 20 years ago that are now materialized, like Midtown, you know, started coming out of the ground like 07, 08, 06, whatever it was. And that idea wasn't born that day, right? That took so much work to even get there. And it's still obviously making progress. Maker's Alley just cut the ribbon and there's the Innovation District. But that's also just one part of town that's already been born. Downtown South is on its way, but there's been, and COVID's a big part too, but there's been so much delay.
Well, think about Dix Park. I mean, we have to really get serious and get behind this and make this happen. Years and years delays, people, you know, it can't just be for Dreamville. It's got to be stuff that we can enjoy and be activated, you know, in the near future.
And Mitch said when we were talking to him, and not as a negative point to Raleigh, but as a positive point to other cities, what Cary and Durham are doing is really innovative.
Mm-hmm.
And Raleigh has to keep up, not just with our sister cities down the road, but like,
right.
You don't think that, you know, if Austin's working this hard right now, you don't think they're going to shoot back up from 40, you know? And so you really have to keep going.
You and I used to joke that neither one of us wanted to live in Cary. And
now it's so cool.
And it's like, you know, I mean, that was not that long ago. And it's really come a long way. It's just, we have to keep moving forward. I love this story. I love talking about this stuff. I love dream, you know, big ideas, thinking forward. So I think it's worth reading. I think people should get it. You can read online.
And we should say, since you just said all that, that our other feature is a district-by-district guide of city council and exactly where each district is. So if you don't know, you can figure out where you live.
There's a QR code in there. You can put your address in. It'll tell you what district you live in.
Yep.
And the candidates that are already thrown their hat in or the incumbents are listed. And for the new people, we asked, why now? Why are you running?
Yeah, very digestible. It's not a lot of words to get straight to the point, what they want to do, you know, so you can actually, and to your point about voting, at least this year, it's a federal election as well. So the numbers should be better. But I think this is all in one place. Who's running? Get to know them. You've got time and vote.
And we're going to keep telling you to vote.
Oh, for sure.
Cheers.
Right. Cheers.
This has been Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine. I hope after hanging out with us, you feel more like a Raleigh insider. You can find copies of our magazine around town or subscribe for $10 for 10 issues. We'd love it if you gave this podcast a rating and review and share it with your friends. This podcast was edited and produced by Earfluence. I'm Gina Stevens. We'll see you again soon.